Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Woo! Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and tonight we have the lovely, lovely, blessed Janine Kimmel with me. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thanks for. I'm happy to be here.
I'm delighted you're here, too, because I am on fire tonight. And boy, nobody handles me like a precious flame, you know, a blaze like Janine. I mean, she just helps translate the energies that I'm feeling in the communications that I'm trying to share, because there is definitely some energy be a move in here on our planet here, November 3rd, 2011. Don't you? Or what do you think about that? You think energies are moving?
Oh yeah, I'm feeling it. It's not stagnant, that's for sure. It's
exactly.
Pulsing away. It's pulsing away. And
oh, exactly. I can't
right. And that's good to know, because I think that when you're sensing it and you're not quite sure what you're sensing, you can almost misinterpret it as like, whoa, what is this? And maybe feel it, you know, like feel it almost as a, not jarring, but nervousness or, and it's really not. I think it's the energy. And it's good to know that, like you, as you were telling me before about the pulsing of the solar energy, that people really may go, okay, you know, that's what I'm feeling, and I can go with it. I can kind of harmonize with it or synchronize with it.
Exactly.
Although, yeah, and just you know, I think awaken more light switches are going on, and as we were talking, or how I describe it is the ceiling keeps being lifted, like the understanding and the concepts and the ahas, and you know, and as you and I both said, it's not just, you know, it's the both end. It's the difficult, the uncomfortable, and it's the glorious, and it's all of it, you know. So I know you've been doing that, and I've been doing that, and it's pretty wild. And when I called you earlier, you were just having the best time.
I'm literally on, you know, I'm on a new fractal. I'm on a new grand adventure with, you know, this beautiful being, Nassim Haramein. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's blowing my mind. He's blowing my mind. And what I'm really starting to understand just so clearly, and we're definitely, you know, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go.
It was, you gave me a great opening there, and as you always do, so beautifully, is that the teachers that are seeming to come into my life are in, like, well, they're like in absolute perfection to where I am from an awareness point of view. And it's really starting to become incredibly obvious to me. I watched one of Nassim's longer broadcasts, which is, it's a two-part video. One is 4 hours long, and one is 3.5 hours long. And, you know, that's 7 hours worth of a physicist basically talking about the Einstein's theory of relativity. Nassim has basically, he got the equation. I mean, he has proven the connectivity, the unified field of everything. I mean, and he's showing this from a physics point of view. And I'm telling you, it's like a seventh grader would understand this. Shit, a seven-year-old would understand this. In fact, he mentions in one of his videos that he talks to children. And what's so amazing is, you know, as everybody who's been listening to the show knows, you know, I'm a huge George Kavassalis fan. And George brings a wisdom, and what I'm starting to really truly get, George brings a wisdom based on George's experiences. It's not based on the internet. It's not based on how many books George read. It's not based on how many colleges he went to. It's based on a natural component of through his experiences, he now has wisdom on that particular subject. And the particular subject George has wisdom on is the construction of the universe, because he's been taken outside the construction of the universe due to his experiences. Well, Nassim has the same natural component of he dropped out of school at 16, he lived in a van for 5 years, he did most of his, he came to the conclusions of the theory, the unified field theory, you know, where he is literally, he proves it. Mathematical equations that prove it. He did this through visualizations of sacred geometry in his head. You know, he posted the tree of life from the Kabbalah on the top of his van and was playing with it. You know, when he would come to a point where there was an open end or something that didn't make sense, and it's like, I mean, I'm really starting to have this understanding that these are not intellectual people that are assisting me on my journey to ascension. These are people that are actually tapped in and tuned in to the quantum field of all that is, you know, where the intelligence is experienced, where the intelligence shows up, you know, on our own inner mind field. As the equation's making sense, it's not necessarily written in a language that's using letters. I mean, it could be geometries, could be feelings. In fact, let's drop the could-bes. It is geometry. It is feelings. And when I look at that, you know, being who I am, I was always a very sensitive person. I mean, I'm left-handed, so I naturally, the right side of my brain, which is the creative intuitive side, has always been stronger than my organization and rational logical mind. But I had to fit in. And I'm so clearly seeing that in my desire to fit in, that's what, like, so many of my lessons are all about, me wanting to fit in as one side and the other side, because I want to feel worthy. If I fit in with the group, I have worth. If society tells me I'm worthy, I'm worthy. If my boyfriend tells me I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. And I'm going through a metamorphosis, literally, of letting go of all the things that were requiring me to fit in. And what's showing up is a natural ability for me to be intuitive and have the same organic intelligence of how the universe works. Because there is stuff that Nassim has been saying in his videos that I've already said to myself. I might not have known the geographical or the geography of the equation, you know, I didn't know it was a tetrahedron, you know, squeezed together with another tetrahedron. But I have, like, I already came to the conclusion. A lot of Nassim's information is about that there's black holes in everything, down to the very smallest molecule, you know, out to the greatest of, you know, the biggest universes and cosmos. And, you know, I already had an awareness of that. And see, that's the way it works when we're not thinking stuff and not doing the left brain has to kind of, you know, say it's okay to have that information and then put it into the right brain. When it goes into the right brain, it's not looking for anything. It's not looking to fit in. It's not looking to be approved. It's not looking for anything from the outside. There's just this feeling that it's truth, because what I had come to the conclusion of was the chakras. I started understanding the chakras were black holes in our body that were recycling energy for us. A black hole is where the information goes in, and Stephen Hawking had proved that there were white holes, and white holes were where the information came out. And that, you know, people were always like, we have to get into the middle of a, you know, we'll never know what's in the middle of a black hole. Everything about our world is in a black hole. Our bodies, this earth, there's a black hole in the center of the earth. There's a black hole in the center of the sun. There's a black hole in the center of the galaxy. You know, and what's amazing is all of that I'm learning, and of course today is literally like day two of me finding Nassim's work. Because when I find somebody's work, you know, it's really, just get the hell out of my way. I love saturating. I mean, when I first found George, that's actually not true. When I first found George, I really liked him, but it didn't quite click right away in that when I can get into like a very obsessive mode where I just want to hear everything. I mean, because I love it. It feels great. I didn't feel that very, very first time I heard him. But I came back to him about, I don't know, a couple of weeks later, or I don't remember how long it took. But the second time I did, you know, I was just in a different space where I received his information from a different place. I would bet to say I was probably not as mental that day. I was probably more at the place of, like I was in a place of, I'm exhausted. I've been trying to figure something out. I have no clue. Like, I surrender. I don't know what. And then George's video came in, and the answers kind of came very synchronistically and effortlessly. And from that point, I was like, okay, I need more. What else you got to say? Because, like, there's just days I can hear stuff, and it just click, 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 clicks. And other days I'll hear stuff, and I'll enjoy it, but not to the same level as, like, a click. And truth be told, I don't really know why, you know, what the differentiates that from happening. But it does happen. So, you know, I'm just kind of making note of it for you guys and myself that when it does, you know. But this guy, Nassim, holy moly. Like everything me and Janine have been talking about is confirmed in the scientific community of a gentleman who is basically giving us the equation to the unified field. That's beyond big. I mean, and you know, like, I guess so much to say. Let me let you talk, because in case I'm not saying things right, you'll help people understand.
No, you are. And, you know, it's funny how, you know, you go through these, and recently you have kind of gone through some processes where, it's like you break through to another place by lifting, by literally liberating yourself from old patterns, old fears. The beauty of that is that I've personally experienced that as well when I have intentionally faced difficulties, fears, self-worth issues, self-esteem issues, fear issues. And, you know, back, like, for instance, and this ties in beautifully to Nassim, because I shared this with Goldie earlier, that when I did a vision quest in 93 and I was there because I wanted to face my fear of being alone in the dark, that I did find this beautiful piece that I turned into an art piece called The Magic Gown. And amazingly, that was I turned it into an art piece in 1995. And you could see it on my website, which I'll give later. But so
I'm going to give it now, jlkimmel.com. Go ahead.
Okay. So then, so there was this beautiful piece that represented the deep feminine nature and my connection to nature, and it was all intuitive and all creative and all facing fears, and there was this, you know, movement and growth on my part, and I call it initiation art, and I'm getting all this incredible, like, information and awakening, and you know, it's just, I'm following something and I'm letting go at the same time, and I'm liberating myself, and
right.
You know, it's a process that you're not deliberately have strategy for, it's just occurring. So, but you know, you're putting
exactly.
it, you're cooperating and you're putting your energy there, because you know, you do. So this was, so in 2004 in my studio that I'm no longer in, the building next door burns to the ground, and my entire studio, nearly everything in it, including the magic gown, was destroyed, but it wasn't. But the fire department had to break in the middle of the night and fight the fire from my studio. And so here's all my initiation art, and my, including the magic gown, and all, what I considered, you know, sacred pieces, and probably 40 piece works of original paintings, all came inches away from being destroyed, but they weren't.
Wow.
Okay, so now the firemen, within an hour at dawn, helped me move everything, because they go, well, the building could collapse, blah, blah, blah. Well, why I'm telling you this story is, so look at this. Out of the fire, I am forced to make a move. I get out of my studio, I put everything in storage, then months later, I go to get the magic gown, and I go, wow, it needs to be redone. It, you know, it's smoky, it's dirty, so
right.
I wash it. Well, here's the beautiful part of the synchronicity of tonight, is that what I paint on the giant piece of wood, which is about 8 feet, I paint probably a 6-foot symbol of life, multidimensional, what did you call it? A tetrahedron? Tetrahedron, right?
Is
right.
that what it is? Okay, because,
yeah,
okay.
It's
just not three-dimensional, I see. Okay, right.
It, you know, nobody really knows where it came from, but it's painted, and you can see it on my website in one of the transformations of the magic gown. And for some reason, I just felt that was supposed to be there. And so here is that whole intuitive knowledge, where is it coming from, you know, synchronistic, that's now still behind the magic gown, but the magic gown's gone through two other transformations since then, but that's just part of this creative process. And, you know, why, where, and, you know, it's just, I did it. And so tonight I'm talking to Golden Hawk, and she brings up the symbol of life and how, you know, he studied it, and I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but that's behind the magic gown. So I sent her, and I'll put it on Facebook.
I was going to say, if you don't, I will. Okay. I don't know if I can download them.
All right, I can do that. But
okay.
So there it is, you know, and all these realizations are coming or have come to me by way of my work, my connection to nature, my liberating myself from my fears. Just I keep moving forward. I keep following something. You know, it's kind of this unexplainable but wonderful process. That, and then the beauty is when I get to talk to Golden Hawk about it, and it's like electric, and it's like playing, because and it's energizing, and it's wonderful, because you go through some difficult times, where I know we've done some radio shows recently where, you know, they've been difficult, they've been heavy, but you know what? They're necessary, because my vision quest had some heaviness, but that's the beauty of doing this stuff, because it's necessary. It's completely necessary. So it's the breaking through, you know, and then I, like I said, I call it the ceiling starts to lift, and, you know, and it does really do, you know, and it does feel wonderful, because there's just these, when you kind of get confirmed in the knowing, you just, it just feels right, you know, and you're, like, oh, wow. So that's been going on now for Golden Hawk. and it's so fun for me because then we get to share, and inevitably I have all these synchronistic, you know, commonalities with these understandings that just fit beautifully. So we're excited to share all of this as it unfolds tonight with you guys.
Exactly. And let's see, the number to call in, if you have a synchronicity to share about this, definitely call in and share this. The number is 646-929-2084. And we would love to hear from anybody who has, you know, something to share about, oh, my God, about, you know, basically, like, just having, I think what it is, you know, one of our, my dear friends, and she feels like a sister, to be quite honest, forget like, she feels sisterly, is Michelle. And, you know, Michelle wrote to me a few days ago, and she was like, you know, don't stop giggling. You know, we love your giggle. And I was really touched by that because, you know, one of the people from my George interview, where I was, like, laughing my ass off almost consistently, which is what I do when I'm nervous, had written something negative. And, you know, this is all very new to me, having negative press. Now, listen, it's not new to me having negative press. People have talked about me my whole life, but they usually did it behind my back. So I didn't really have to – I wasn't directly exposed to it. Where this is a media where now it's you know, if I click on my YouTube, I read the comments. Well, there it is. It's in front of me. But I really do have a deep appreciation when you hear stars or musicians or whatever go, you know, I don't read any of the gossip pages about me, or I don't read any of the critics say, because, you know, people can just be cruel. Anyways, so hands down, within the last few weeks, I have been going through, I've been going through a very challenging time in, okay, I broke up with Scott, I stopped calling and speaking with Dennis, I'm still out of work, you know, I'm definitely still with, you know, the kids, Sahana and Anya and my Westport family, but I'm talking about, you know, 20, 25 hours a week gig, you know, don't have that. And I've been doing a lot of processing, you know, basically, I mean, in my life, but when the shows come up, I can't be authentic, put a happy face on, and then go back to life and be, you know, processing a challenging experience. And what's so amazing about the whole Nassim revelation for me personally is Nassim is bringing to attention, not just to the spiritual audience, but to the scientific audience, the actual relevance of what the term he uses is torque. And it's so funny because me and Janine have actually used that term in our private conversations where torque is like, you know, it's the friction you that's created when there's something that's in movement and something that is either not in movement or is in movement in the other direction. So he literally shows in his template of the unified field how torque is mandatory. If you're not utilizing torque, which, by the way, everybody in the I got big ringing in my ear right now. Everybody in the quantum physics field was not addressing torque. And it's so funny because for me, I took that from the symbology of, oh, it's like the love and lighters who won't address the darkness. And he's like, and they're wrong. The information that is coming from the community of the quantum physicists not addressing the idea of torque, they're not what they're doing from a scientific point of view is they're not addressing that the whole universe is in constant motion. Like Nassim was showing a visual on one of his videos where they call it the balloon theory, where the universe is a balloon and it's being blown up. And that it's explaining the expansion of the universe, how, you know, he glued all these stars onto the balloon. So as the balloon gets bigger, the stars and the galaxies and everything, they get more and more separated because the balloon is expanding. Mm-hmm. Now, what Torque is helping to have the understanding of is if there's a person, we'll say, who's blowing up the balloon, that's the expansion. Well, where's the contraction happening? And the way Nassim pointed it out was it would be the person's lungs who are blowing up the balloon. Because,
right,
see, it's a
right.
it's a partial equation when you're only looking at what's expanding. There's got to be another end to it in order for it to be a unified field. Otherwise, it's an incomplete equation. And I guess basically what all of the physicists prior to Nassim, quantum or regular physicists, when asked the question, well, so what's creating the expansion? I don't know. You know, they kind of kept throwing it off to go ask the religions that. You know, they were kind of tossing it off to, oh, that's the God equation.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, but that's not the God equation in the sense, I mean, it can be, but there is a scientific understanding to this. Now, I just know when I heard him talking about torque,
right.
it's my new playful word. I'm just like torque. I knew in my heart that everything me and Janine have been talking about here on Mother Earth with George, see, this is all about, okay, the best way to explain this is, I'm going to explain this from a personal experience. George is a fascinating human being, and one of the things that makes him so fascinating is his loving heart and his capacity to be very present. Like, when I'm in conversation with George, when I'm listening to George do his speaks that, you know, that are pre-recorded, I can feel George's presence. Now, that presence comes because George in his journey has basically endured, torture. George has been tortured. George has been frightened. I mean, George in one of his interviews said it was only about 6 years ago that he really got his footing his grounding, that he felt, you know, safe and the world became colorful again, as opposed to being a black and white experience, which is when you're in fear, exactly how you experience life. It kind of loses its color and everything becomes shadows and you're in the dark night of the soul. It's dark. And what's so interesting is I had over 800 people listening live last week to me and George's interview, which I really understand now why the energy was so high. But anyways, what's so interesting is, you know, people just want George's information because George is coming from a space where he has worked through that traumatic experiences. He's worked through the torture. He's worked through the fear, and he's not afraid of them anymore. And he is stated on several occasions, he absolutely has shown unconditional love to the beings that were torturing him. He understands who he is today because of the beings torturing him. And what I'm starting to notice just from my own interactions with George is, the way I interviewed him was, you know, as me and Janine, you know, so clearly could tell that night, George was sick as a dog when he was on the show last week. I mean, he was not feeling good. So we just kind of wanted to have a conversation like we would be, you know, more friendly as opposed to, you know, okay, ramble off the answers and, you know, we're going to ramble off questions, you're going to ramble off answers, which George obviously is more than happy to do, but he was sick as a dog and, you know, it was hard for him to have the connections and the clarity. He was all congested, and he really didn't feel good. So it's like, all right, let's do a different type of, interview where, truth be told, I'll interview you from, I'll share my experiences, tell me what you think about them, just as a friend. You don't, it wasn't like you had to come up with my answers. I'm experiencing my own answers. It was just a different way to have an interview. But what I noticed was there were people that totally were like, listen, we really just want to hear George ramble off answers. You know, we're really not interested at all, Goldie, what you have to say. We didn't, 800 people didn't show up on my show to hear me. They showed up to hear George. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this all up is because everybody that, if you're waiting for anybody else to give you your answers, the ascension doesn't come. The peaceful feeling that we are seeing in George is the living example of what will become of each of us when we face our fears, when we face our torments, when we face our anxieties, and we allow them to alchemize us into incredibly compassionate, loving, unconditionally loving beings. That's a huge point for people to get. It doesn't come from the answers. George is simply the living example of what massive fear and torture can produce. Now, there are some people massive fear and torture produce serial killers. You know, right? We don't know. I believe, you know, whatever your nature is. But I know for me, massive fear. I was afraid of everything growing up. I mean, everything. I was afraid of being alone. I was afraid of not being loved. I was afraid of not being pretty enough. I was afraid of not being accepted. These are all situations, as I have worked through them, there is a stability in me that, well, it came out this weekend in when I was dealing with a lot of, you know, a lot of negative press about the way I interviewed George, both from George's forum as well as the chat room that we had open. And it triggered me. Why? Because I still have fear of being accepted. I still have fears of unworthiness. So I bring it in. Okay, bring it in. And what do I do with it? I just sit with it and allow myself to feel, you know, I have a great person to bounce things off with. My, you know, for lack of a better term, my therapist is Janine, who, like, just exquisitely gives me insights to know that the people judging me from George's forum, you know, they're kind of the, they're not really people that are, you know, they want the ascension, but they're not, they're missing a little bitty piece. That little bitty piece is torque. Their own torque. See, it's like it's being missed by the physicists. It's being missed by the ascension people. It's being missed by a lot of well-intended people. But when you don't miss it, you get that it's really the only way that this alchemy happens. It happens in the friction. I mean, you can look at it and see where it does happen. Pearls. Pearls are created by the little bitty sand that's been aggravated in the oyster. That's you know, that's what the pearl is. It's the sand alchemized into the pearl. And so, you know, we can see it, but if we're not living and experiencing our own torque, again, going back to the whole love and lighters, who are like literally, I mean, I read somewhere, I read on somebody's thing that had a Galactic Federation of Light update, and one of the first things I read was, do not get into confrontation right now. Confrontation is not only very dangerous right now, it's very bad for you. Just, you know, don't do it. And it's so funny because on Monday's show of this week, I don't, you know, if anybody heard, there was a gentleman who came on, a beautiful man, and he basically, you know, I was kind of still in, you know, in my clarity stage of sharing, you know, some dark issues that I was going through from the weekend with George and my power going out. And, you know, it was just one of those tough weekends, yet another tough weekend. You know, and he came on and he really didn't know anything that we were talking about and, you know, just kind of came on to, he never really stated why he came on. I asked him, you know, I directly confronted him because he's somebody who calls in often, which I'm delighted that he calls in and he shows interest. But I'm more delighted if someone calls in because they've been listening to the show and they have something to contribute that, as Janine beautifully put, that relates to what we're talking about. Because, see, that's another thing that Nassim has brought up. Torque relates to the fusion of the sacred geometry, which is ultimately, it's in the fusion that we become enlightened to our next level of consciousness. It's like without torque, that fusion will not happen. And it's not that nature doesn't do this, but if we're not focused on it, you can almost see that these people that are, you know, doing their best not to make waves, don't do confrontation, love and light. You know, I'm not saying don't love and light people. I'm telling you, don't feel guilty if you get pissed off. It's so part of the equation to getting you to the next level, the energy that you're utilizing when you're pissed off. I mean, again, and I'm going to let Janine share this part. The idea, well, we get pissed off. We do not want to take our pissed off and take it out on another being. That's not what I'm saying, because that's not really owning your torque. That's kind of, you get pissed and you look for the next thing you can piss off, and then you just, it's, you know, we all know what the name of it. You're dumping it. If you're dumping the friction that's in you, you don't benefit from that friction. The way you benefit from the friction is by hanging on to it and understanding that it's not the cat's fault, you know, that somebody cut you off, and it's not your daughter's fault that your boss pissed you off. You know, in fact, it's nobody's fault about any of this. It's simply a part of the equation to where we're going in our next level of awareness. We need this torque. So how about if we have a new belief system that honors it and actually welcomes it, and we have weekends. You know, what are you doing this weekend? I am totally sitting in my shit, and I am ascending. Imagine if we all, you know, gave each other the space to say, okay, cool, so if you need me, I'm here, and if not, you know, come back around and let me know how you're feeling once it gets transmuted and transcends. Because I can tell you, for the last 4 weeks, my torque has been on high. It's like I'm quitting everything. I feel like I'm quitting cigarettes all over again. I'm quitting relationships. I'm quitting belief systems. And is it easy? No, it's not easy. I have addictions. Addictions constantly are, you know, knocking on your door going, you know, let me in. And it's like it takes this strength to go, no. Mm-hmm. And what I'm learning from Nassim is the strength to say no is an energy that is, the torque that I'm talking about is, it's like getting pulled back in a slingshot. The torque is pulling me back in my darkness. I mean, I'm dealing with dark everything, for God's sakes. Pick a blooming subject, Raven. Relationships, health, finances, Goldie's dark and horrible. And when I say I'm dark, meaning it's all being taken away. And if it's not being taken away, I'm letting it go because it clearly isn't serving me. So my torque is getting pulled back like the slingshot. And I can tell you, this week, I just kind of got bing. And all of a sudden, I mean, nothing has changed. It's all still, I, you know, don't have a boyfriend. I don't have any money right now. Or I don't have a job. Let me say that. I still have a little bit of my savings. I'm very conscious of that. nothing's changed physically on the outside, but what has changed, what I am now feeling, and this is the God's honest truth, I am calm. I am present. I am not afraid of whatever's coming down the pike. And believe me, people, there are experiences coming down the pike, because part of my intuition is so clearly showing me that we are going to be dealing with psychological experiences we have never before dealt with. I I don't need George to tell me that. I see that within my own experience. That is part of what only Goldie can share, because it's my great work to share this. And I can just so see the psychological, the deception that is coming is going to be on a scale. We think we were deceived by the Illuminati. Oh my God, it's gonna be child's play compared to that. And here's the thing about it. The deception that's coming down the pike isn't going to be the deception of that they're basically, you know, handing us a cookie, you know, and poisoning our water. The deception's going to be that they can change our life permanently. And all of that is really the misguidance of, but they're still in control of your energetic and magnetic fields. They're still in control of that. I mean, freedom, man. Everything I share is about the sovereignty and the freedom of all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where Torque will get you. Torque will get you freedom. Okay, my rant is over, babe.
No, it's really good because, you know, before, I mean, for years now, I have personally experienced, and, you know, the ability to what I call be in a space of tension, creative tension,
yes.
Which is torque, which is resistance, which is something that, you know, maybe before I could have ignored, I could have projected outward, I could have blamed, I could have done a lot of things, and yet then there's this other choice where the torque, the resistance, the tension, the conflict, whether within the self or you experience it on the outside world with another or, you know, or several, these are...
Well, and they're just triggers. It's always experienced within.
Yeah, but to me, they're good sensors for going toward them and...
Oh, I see.
And discovering what it is that you're being, you know, because that's there's something there, and you said bring it
yes.
in. You said bring it in, which is exactly where when you bring it in and you go through it, not around it, not ignore it. That's where I have learned, you know, and back when I first, you know, really was kind of giving this form artistically, which I incorporate in my own personal growth. You can't really separate the two. I was seeing them as initiations, but,
right.
you know, we are doing that if we get in touch with sensing, oh, torque, oh, resistance, oh, conflict, oh, this is a rich area for me to liberate, break through, and transform. And then, you know, what we're doing,
fact,
I think.
I think it's the only place it can happen.
I do too. I really do. And if you notice that that symbol of the Vesica Pisces, when two circles touch and then they overlap each other, then the inside image that the two circles create is that Vesica Pisces, which is those two circles first touch, there's a tension.
Yes.
Then they break through into each other, and then they create this centerpiece, which, you know, would be called the paradoxical unity, or the person who's then really breaking through within yourself and becoming, you know, not becoming whole, because you're really kind of already whole, but you're not really relating to the world as if you are. So that's how I see. And I encourage, and as strange as that might sound to some people, but I really encourage when that's the best learning there is. And as you do this more and more, you become more artful at it, where it's almost a welcome, and you're like, oh, another learning. Oh, another learning.
Another level to get through.
And you're not even resisting as much anymore. It's almost like, and there's a momentum that occurs, you know.
Absolutely.
And maybe, by the way, the pulsing is that. You know, to me, this is the resistance, the letting go, the resistance, the letting go, the resistance, the letting go, which is you know, just to bring it into the body is really what the heart is doing. The heart is contracting, the heart is releasing, the heart is contracting, you know. So this is our body's doing it, we're doing it, the universe is doing it, you know, Earth, including Earth. And another thing that I'm excited about, and, you know, not that this is new news, but I was listening to some YouTube that Golden Hawk told me about the man with the electrical wiring and stuff. And he was speaking about how when you look at the nucleus of our cells with an electron microscope, the actual matter that we're made up of disappears all the time. It's like it's there, it's not there. It's there, it's not there. It's there, it's not there. So to me, this pulsing, this resistance, this relaxing, I mean, to me, that's where we are that. And, you know, it's funny because I always said, and I said this to Golden Hawk, and then she confirmed it later with, what's his name, Neem?
Nassim?
Yeah.
Nassim or the guy with the electrical?
Nassim.
Oh, okay.
That when, you know, we can't, with the eyes that we have, sense that we're in and we're out, we're in and we're out, we're here, we're not here, we're moving in and out of dimensions, if you ask me. And I said that I thought we were bringing back information. And I really do believe that, and perhaps that even could be what the intuition is. It's like we already actually have the information, then we receive it here as we know it in this reality. And then, you know, but it feels like, oh, where'd that come from? Well, it came from you, but it just came from you when you were over there. Hold on one sec. I have a little bit of that cough still. But it's funny because when my one son, Ryan, was little, you know, and I guess this stuff is inherent, that he used to have these experiences of these time moments where it would just feel as though the future had already occurred. And he would look at me and he'd say, Mom, it's happening again. And I'd go, just let it. Don't worry about it. And I felt as though, and he turned out to be an incredible professional surfer, surfing 20-foot spaces, you know, all over the world, a real rapport with nature. But I really feel that he had some kind of, maybe, you know, he was more sensitive to the coming and the going and the and bringing back information. And gee, I already did that. Why does it feel like I already did that? Well, because you did. And so I used to, as his mom, and I'm glad I did it, I just, you know, even without understanding truly the say, you know, the physics of it or the whatever of it, I would just say, let it happen. Don't worry about it. It's just you experiencing time differently. You know, you know, he never really worried about it, and that's a good thing, you know. And so, So I think that over the last few weeks, it's been a real pleasure to accompany Golden Hawk through the torque. And I know that sounds strange, but not really to me, because this is the real world to me. The real world is this. This is not like, oh, you know, I mean, if I hadn't gone through the things I had gone through, I wouldn't have these beautiful sculptures, these paintings, these stories, these incredible understandings, this connection with nature. You know, it's just, you know, it's the gifts just keep on coming. And it hasn't been easy. And guess what? That's because that's not the torque, the resistance, the, you know, I'm responding to it. I'm not running away from it. So, so it is a natural part of our process rather than looking at the balloon just being expanded and going, oh, it's just expanding. No.
Right.
Contraction, too. And the contraction is as significant as the expansion.
Without it, the equation is not complete.
Right.
That's what makes it so
complete equation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
And you know, so we're incomplete equations if we don't respond, if we don't really honor all of us. And so it's like a great day for, like, you know, when people go, ooh, I'm really going through something, let's process it. I'm like, let's open up the champagne. You know, it's like this is
exactly
the thing. And they look at you and they go, really? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, this is good.
Well, you know, and Nassim has talked about on his videos how, I mean, pretty much the entire physics community rejected him. I mean, he's been ridiculed for everything he stated when it was when he was talking about what he stated now before he had all the pieces that he had. You know, it's like...
And I'll say something funny, but you will totally get it.
Okay.
It's usually a big compliment and confirmation to be rejected.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it really is. I have learned a lot.
That's a paradox. Yes.
So that's part of it. You know, thinking outside the box, breaking into new territory. You know, that's really part of it. You know, and getting used.
I mean, it literally is, and.
Yeah.
And the fact that as a human race, it's not just a human race, I mean, the entire structure, everything from soup to nuts on this planet is going through an ascension process. And what's funny is this planet is a fractal of everything in the cosmos. So it's just that it's happening on a smaller scale here, but it's actually happening to everything because what Nassim has already proven is it's all connected. You can't do something small without it being the same. It's affecting the big simultaneously. It's not even that it's just symbolic. It's all holographic. If you do it to the small, it happens to the large. If you do it to the large, it happens to the small. I mean...
Yeah. Well, and from my point of view, as I don't know, you know, I guess how I relate to the world or how I relate to people or how I relate to processes is there's something that I enjoy, and that's why relating is a very, like, I guess important thing to me, and I notice
the key component, yes.
Yeah, it's a very key component, and you know, relationship, not to people, but relating, and I really enjoy the intimacy of things. And it's funny because when you and I were just talking to George, and he really let us know prior to going on the show how he wasn't feeling well, and there was a real intimacy and sharing that I thought was going on in the interview that I sensed that I felt bad for people who really missed that. Because maybe it was a different interview in terms of, you know, structure or what people knew. But for me, there was an intimacy there, and I sensed it in George that actually felt sweet. And
definitely.
And, you know, it's funny because when people aren't feeling well, you know, sometimes you get that real sweet, vulnerable piece of them, and that's a really nice thing. And I just, you know, I wanted to bring that up because there's an intimacy to everything to me. And so, you know, and it's so funny to be able to talk about the universe that way, but we are a part of it. We are it. We're processing, the universe is processing, you know, going in and out, and our, you know, ourselves are fluctuating and into black holes and out of white holes. And, you know, it's just all constant. But to me, what's amazing is, to me, that is intimate. And so I guess that's how my work feels to me when I'm, you know, I bring it out in whatever I do. And when I'm talking to Golden Hawk or when I'm even on the radio, it feels very relating and intimate to me. I have no idea who we're talking to. I know some of our people, you know, but you know, I sense that, and I hope that they do too, you know, this kind of...
Well, and I think, you know, when we don't have the big names on and it's just, you know, us and 30 people, I feel that there's a draw to be here, the people who are looking for the intimacy, people who are looking to come out of the box and have an understanding that, you know, because I can remember, like, when in my awakening, when I was 30, I remember part of my awakening was the truth of, I don't think I'm where I thought I would be as a kid at 30. You know, 30 was this number in my head that I was supposed to have the white picket fence, the 2.4 children, you know, a husband, and, you know, a substantial job. I mean, no, that wasn't even close to my experience. You know, I was living with my boyfriend and my brother. I was selling drugs. I was doing drugs.
Yeah.
No children, nowhere near close to being married. The kids, well, we were living next to a school at the time. That meant anything. You know, it was just like, I just couldn't, you know, I was like, how did I get here when everything the society was telling me was I was supposed to be someplace completely different? And that's when I saw, I mean, it's like, why am I a smart person making stupid choices? Why is that happening? And that was my awakening question because, you know, that just takes me throughout everything. Because first I went through blaming my parents, totally. It's all your fault, you know. I was a total mess up. And you never did anything about it. You know, and then I got over that. I don't know how quickly, but I got over that and started understanding that, you know, the law of attraction, everything that I'm getting is me, which Nassim actually proves from a physics point of view. It literally is. It comes in our black hole and it comes out our white hole. And we are all made up of infinite black holes and white holes because every molecule that is in existence has a black hole and a white hole.
Mm.
I mean, I was aware of the chakras, but that's just a bigger coagulation of the black hole in our beings. I mean, we also have a black hole in the center of the planet. Because Nassim said he believes the black hole that we have in our physical being is actually, there's a space in the heart that creates this magnetic, electromagnetic field that can be measured up to like 8 feet away. And that when people die, and by the way, black holes are singularity points. It's the point of singularity. So it's
okay.
The black hole is when we're at the most individual. The white hole is the expression of our individualness into the oneness of everything.
Mm.
That's the way the fractal works. Anyways, when we die, you know, it's been noted by like scientists and doctors and stuff that there's like, you know, 0.17 grams or something that the weight loss that happens directly at death. And Nassim believes it's when that point, your black hole, the singularity you have in this point in your heart collapses and is no longer there.
Yeah, it's funny because that reminds me, and I, you know, just singularity and the soul, I don't know why, but that seems to, you know, kind of go together. Very much so. Yeah.
Where we're individuals, but still part of the whole. Because, like, for me, I'm always kind of a little on the defensive side in the sense of I've been inherently selfish my whole life. I've just always done things that were going to work out for me. And partially because, I mean, the first 30 years of my life, I was breaking laws all over the place. It was up to me to keep myself out of prison and keep myself out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And it was an interesting thing because when I turned, quote, unquote, my whole energy kind of swung the other way that I was doing the light and love thing, which I've definitely had my, you know, it's all about light and love. Don't think negative thoughts. It's going to bring negativity. That was when life for me felt not as natural. Like when you're in the dark space, it's natural to be selfish and take care of yourself because in that space you don't trust anybody anyways. So you only trust in yourself. But in the space of, you know, the light and love, it's like, you know, you're supposed to trust everybody and everybody's looking out for the greater good of the whole. And, you know, in all honesty, that is not what I experienced. You know, when I was working with the light, I was conned out of $20,000. I didn't get paid for, you know, helping, you know, I set up this woman from India to do a workshop for the weekend. They promised to pay me. They never did. You know, I've had plenty of people lying to me, stealing from me, cheating from me, all in the world of the light and the love. And
yeah.
you know, it just became one of those, like, okay, you know, not quite sure I'm really fitting into this crowd either, because I clearly got, you know, I'd say after about 10 years of doing that, going, this doesn't feel right to me anymore. But I had to experience it. See, that's the thing. I went through it. I don't hold any animosity towards anybody that did those things to me. They just showed me how the template was working and how I was working in it, because, you know, there's really what's working for me now tremendously, and again, Nassim is just kind of confirming this for me, is I am trying to be, no, screw trying, I am being as transparent as I possibly can. I mean, I am not withholding anything from myself, from the conversations I have in my private life to the conversations I have on the air. Mm-hmm. Because my goal is, you know, if I'm transparent, that means the universe will be transparent, and this is all from a selfish motive. I do not want to be deceived in what's going to happen in the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I know deception is on its way, and I know the deception is going to be based on the yearning of wanting to be loved, the yearning of wanting to be accepted, the yearning of wanting to be, you know, considered beautiful. Because, see, that's part of the plan. First, they kept it from us, and now they're going to saturate it to us. I know I still have those yearnings. So I am preparing myself not to be deceived by them, but before this even comes down the pike, start being transparent so you can see, because this is the way the holes work, the black and the white hole works. The black hole comes into your experience, the white hole gives you back your experience. So if I'm putting into the black hole, I'm transparent, what's going to come back to me, this is all karma, is going to be, if someone is deceiving me, it's not that they can continue to deceive. I will see through it.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is all about Goldie being selfish. I'm going through that organic portal, but I know the temptation is going to be huge. Where, you know, I don't know if they're going to send me, you know, somebody to love me. I don't know if they're going to put me, you know, on a radio show that has 100,000 listeners. I don't know what the temptation is going to be, but I know the temptation is coming, and it's not just for me. The temptation's coming for all of us. But my dharma, my great work is one thing. I am going to organically ascend with Mother Earth. And as much as I can say that now when the temptation's not around, you know, I am definitely understanding, be prepared, because when temptation comes, and, you know, I haven't experienced, you know, the true great love of my life. I had one experience, but I was totally a coke addict when I experienced it, so I've never experienced it sober. You know, if some guy is acting, I want to know that it's an act. And how will I know that? Well, my intuition will tell me. My white hole will come through and show me that this is not real. This is somebody that wants you to either get on a ship or go through a gate or whatever the hell they're going to be tempting me with. I want to know these things. So what we put into our lives is what we get back. So, you know, it's not about being nice. That's not what life is all about. It's not all about being nice. It's about transcending. Like, for me, I have transcended. I had a dream the other night, and my molester, the person in my family who molested me, was in my dream. And I kept saying to him, "You look so different." And what I got when I woke up the next morning, I realized I pictured him in my dream much rounder, where when I was kind of hating on him, not kind of drop it, when I was hating on him, he was very pointy. He had a pointy nose. Mm. He had a pointy chin. He had edges. His hair was edgy. I saw him in an edge, from an edge, you know, a razor's edge, a jagged edge. You know, these are all the metaphors of how we deal with being uncomfortable around somebody. You know, it's, they're sharp, they're pointy, they don't feel good. But in this dream, you know, he was rounder, he was softer, You know, I wasn't gushy-gushy in love with him, but I didn't hate on him. I was just like, hey, man, how you doing? Like, I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Things have softened.
Yeah, it was really, really kind of, you know, my dream state lately has been fascinating me in what it's showing me. And so,
Yeah,
I don't know where I was.
You know, it's funny because when you use the word transparent, I feel the word authenticity or authentic, because authentic is authentic. It just is. And to me, that's transparent because there's not a putting on, and there's not, and you know, there's no fear of not looking good. There's no fear of making a mistake. It doesn't matter. When you're transparent and authentic, that's what you are. And I have this personal theory on integrity, which has, from my perspective, has nothing to do with how people interpret integrity. It is not a morality issue. It is not a good-bad issue. It's more of a, not mechanical, but let me try to explain it. And I think that when you're talking about deception and not being deceived, I always, you know, I'm now thinking when you're in a place of integrity, you are really in a place of almost you can't be deceived, or you are less likely to be deceived. And integrity to me is it's not like, oh, that's a good person or a bad person at all. It's
right.
More of a whole person as opposed to a person that has open spaces or blanks in or incompleteness. Incompleteness.
Yeah.
And I'll explain why. Because if you were to look at a line, just draw a line on the page, and it could be vertical or horizontal, doesn't matter. But that line, if it's all connected, has integrity. If you were to erase different little places in the line, you immediately have taken away its integrity. So to me, integrity doesn't have an emotion. It's a state of being. It's a state of being without those spaces or holes in it. And when you, so to me, when you're dealing with your torques, your places of torque and resistance, you are literally filling in those places that have been left open because, you know, there's discoveries you need to make about yourself, and, you know, and places that need to be discovered that have maybe been in the shadows or just an inconsistency in knowing yourself. So, like, for me, I often think about with people, like, okay, so let's go through everything and let's see what comes up. Let's see where there are places in your life where you actually, you don't know how you feel about it, or you're avoiding an emotion, because that's where there's a break in the integrity. And so I really love this concept, and it's completely in its, you know, I haven't completely formed it, and I'm learning every day, but I just happened to be thinking about this today, that, you know, it's the integrity of yourself when there's no unknowns left in terms of avoidance, and then you can you're literally standing in your integrity. And you're pretty, I can say that with integrity comes an incredible amount of self-trust. And so there you have such kind of this, you know, place of strength in that's you know, it's kind of like can't be bought. It's just there. So
yeah.
So this is something I've been really, you know, thinking
okay,
about.
Okay, I have to share something with you because it's so amazing. First
okay.
of all, do you know what the I Ching is?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you know the I Ching is made up of lines and broken lines, right?
Now, yeah, and I didn't think of that. Yes, I do know the I Ching because I named a character after a word in the I Ching, which happens to be a bird name, too, in the Magic Gown. So, and I have read the interpretation of the I Ching by Carl Jung's friend, which I adore, So I'm familiar, but I never considered, which is so interesting.
Well, but I got to tell you what I got today, because this will, okay. I mean, and you'll see it when you watch the video. So,
okay.
I mean, because the fact that you just used that example, just, you know, Jesus, you know what I mean? Janine, it's like we really are connected, because I have a feeling you're picking up on it because I was watching it. All right, so.
That's so great.
Now, this has very much to do with torque and you know, the negative and the positive, for lack of a better word, or the integrity and the non-integrity.
Okay.
So what Nassim showed is that in order to build the tetrahedron utilized by the 64 I Ching, some are full lines, some are broken lines, this is all symbolism, in order to build it back into wholeness, there had to be pieces that were broken, because those pieces will fit in the places in the sacred geometry where it had to be smaller in order to get the whole piece back together.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
So, in other words, the integrity is also, or the trust, because I totally agree. At this point, I mean, integrity will get me out of bed that I have to put bird food in my feeders at 6 o'clock in the morning, because I'll look and see the birds are coming and they'll be only an inch, and, you know, it's normally a foot long or whatever, and I'll be like, you know, I'm really kind of tired, and I'll be like, yeah, but if you were the bird, wouldn't you want there to be food? You know, I mean, like, don't you want food when you go to your refrigerator? And it's like, get up and put food in the feeder. So integrity doesn't allow me to be lazy, even though there's many times in the day where I'm doing absolutely nothing, because integrity allows for it. It's okay that I'm doing absolutely nothing.
Well,
but anyway,
my theory is no one's ever doing nothing. You know what I mean? That really is truly like...
Well, right. That's like saying there's nothing, because you know what? There's never nothing. There's something always in the air, which is clearly what Nassim is... Nassim is showing you that there's no such thing as dark energy. It's actually... It's still, he calls what most scientists call dark energy, he calls infinite density.
That's wonderful.
And he said there's so much of it that the reason why it seems like nothing is because it's canceling out, it's being canceled out by infinite not density.
So the fact that you're doing nothing means you're doing more than you ever are when it appears that you are doing
well,
something.
I'll tell you, my life is shifting even though I'm doing nothing. And so there's truth in that statement, absolutely. But the infinite trust for me is starting to have the understanding that the pieces that are broken, the time when I was lying, cheating, and stealing,
mm-hmm.
that time is not going to not play a part of my organic ascension. In fact, that time is very much a part of the balancing.
Oh, absolutely. And see, but you haven't forgotten those pieces, and those pieces have not been resisted by you. So that wouldn't be, from my interpretation, an empty space in the line of integrity. It would be more of those parts of you that you have discovered maybe recently, where, you know, whether it's the wounded child or the, you know, anger, you know, it's not, because it has nothing to do with good or bad behavior. It's more about the filling this line that's not broken, who is, you know, and that's just an example I'm using as.
Yeah, no, it's a great example.
When something has integrity, there's not a break in it. And
right.
And by the way.
Right.
Right. And so I that's always an encouragement, because that's why when you sense the torque and the resistance, you want to go towards it. You want to bring it in, because you're increasing your integrity.
Totally.
And then as you increase your integrity, you are building self-trust, which basically then is all about self-knowing, which can then you are really unlikely to be self-deceived or deceived by another. It's just, I mean, I could go on and on, because
yeah, but no, the way for me to not be deceived by another is to stop lying to myself.
Right, and that's
exactly right. I'm glad you got to that point.
The line of who you are, if you were a line, as an example, is there's the breaks in the line are really maybe, you know, non-existent, and the integrity of who you are is there, therefore your self-trust is increasing, and your strength in knowing is increasing, And so it's not about, oh, that person's good or that person's bad. Because I think that the word integrity gets misused from my perspective.
Well, you're right, because it's what we talked about on Monday. It's that guilt thing that if we've done it wrong, that's it. You know, we're not getting – I mean, the religions all did it. If you did it wrong, you're not getting into heaven. You know, that's kind of the belief that we're kind of flipping.
That you were getting into heaven.
Pardon?
No, everything is so upside down to me that pretty much meant you were getting into heaven.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, truly, I'll be honest with you, the way I used to interpret it is, oh, you guys are all boring in heaven. I'll go play in hell because it's a lot more interesting.
Right. I never said that. Wait, did Mark Twain say that?
I don't know if it was Mark Twain or W.C. Fields, but
I think
one
it
of
was
them
Mark
said.
Twain.
Okay. I resonate with that.
So anyway, you know, I think that, it's just so great because what you're discovering and I'm discovering is all simultaneously kind of in, you know, it's working together and then we get to share it. And
totally.
And it's what I love about it is it's in the moment, it's experimental, and
totally.
You know, the audience is a part of it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I love that Michelle commented on the symbol of life and the magic gown picture because I posted it on your Facebook.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. I
shared
it
with
your Facebook.
Kristen Geralda. Hello, Kristen, beautiful lady. She wrote, me and my 12 cats are tuning in. Love you, Golden Hawk sister. Quite some insights. Thank you, love. Yeah, and these are insights truly, boy, nothing, I can't emphasize enough, these are universal insights. You know, it's like literally, there is no heaven and hell in the sense of, you know, where we're going from this particular lifetime. I mean, this particular lifetime is so different than any other lifetime we've ever lived, which is why this particular lifetime is where all, I mean, we are in the apocalypse right now. The veils are being lifted, and it's like the truth of how science has been limited is coming to fruition, the truth of how, you know, I mean, all you have to do is see some of the pictures getting posted on Facebook to see how the Vatican is, you know, really a bunch of reptilians. I mean, and you start understanding, you know, the pedophiles and the ability to harm people, and because reptilians are not emotionally based beings. And what's so funny is they're kind of running our churches and our, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think there's definitely all religions, Catholic, Jews, Muslims, Buddhas, inherently there's something off, in my humble opinion.
Anything that's looking to control
the
mind. And anything that's used to control really any one individual mind or masses is really, I would doubt, you know, the intention is, I mean, why would anyone be afraid of a liberated mind or a liberated person?
Which,
or,
and by
know.
The way, science was also a dogma because prior to Nassim, Nassim will say it right in one of his talks. He's like, if you're an architect, if you're an archaeologist, I mean, and you're trying to get your PhD, and you're writing a paper about the pyramids in Egypt. You're not going to be accepted by the PhD panelists or whatever if you write that the pyramids in Egypt were not built by Egyptians, when it's so obvious that they are not humanly built. And Nassim gets into the actual, you know, like what it would take, you know, the perfection of 2 million stones being a half a centimeter off of center. And you know, I mean, come on, people. There have been aliens coming on this planet for good, bad, or indifferent reasons playing with us in this game on Earth. And, you know, the whole idea of just eliminating them from science, eliminating them from religion, eliminating them from our belief system, where we're, I mean, there are people on the planet right now that are actually waiting for the government to tell them they exist. Hello? Come on, you gotta wake up. You don't need the government to know what you know inside. You don't need a college to tell you how smart you are. This is the beauty of the Nassims and the Georges. I mean, they are, pardon my French, fucking brilliant human beings, and they have never seen the inside of a university or you know, anything structured. And Nassim is starting to see the universities, but only after he came to his own conclusions with something to offer. He didn't go there to learn. He went there to say, you got it wrong, guys. Here, why don't we start talking about the way it really is, which is exactly what George is doing when he goes to the Vatican, going, hello, you got it wrong here, guys. They're not promoting, you know, genuine evolution of kind, of soul. They're promoting slavery. I mean, it's like, that's the deception. And when you know, I'm just waking up to it. I know I'm very passionate and, you know, I mean, hopefully you guys appreciate that. If not, I mean, I'm at the place where what you think about me is none of my business.
I think I'll be up till 2 in the morning watching that scene.
I'm telling you, he's phenomenal.
I know. I'm very excited about watching him. And, you know, I mean, then there's guys like Thoreau or, you know, any nature lover where they go, well, you just have to sit in nature and look at some leaves and you pretty much can understand the universe if you're open to it and you're doing your own personal work and, you know, not running away from the torque or the tension or the conflicts, because that's important. But, you know, this is the universe is school and so is nature, and that's
why. Well, and I'll tell you, I was an intellectual bully. I mean, I was born into this world with an absolute, you know, proclivity to go towards my right side of my brain. But I grew up in a Jewish household with a father as an engineer. And to be honest, you know, the first love affair I ever had was with my dad. It was always, I can tell you the first 20 years of my life, even though I was a total mess in puberty, almost every choice I made was to please my father.
Right.
Well, that's not true. Puberty really is, up until like ninth grade, I was a straight A student. I never got caught at doing anything bad because I knew it would disappoint my father. It was all about pleasing my father. And what I so, you know, understood in part of my own torque was getting out of the experience of pleasing him and into the authenticity of who I am. Because, I mean, I remember when I first consciously wrote my first $10,000 check that was a credit card check. I mean, I was thinking the whole time, oh, my dad's going to kick my ass, you know, when this happens. And yet, and I was definitely frightened of it. In other words, there was a tension in my choice, but there was something inside of me that went, really? Really? You're frightened by that? Listen, it's either going to be Nisara, which I know many people have heard about now, or you'll go bankrupt. I mean, like, you're never going to pay this back. You don't really care if you don't pay it back. You don't own anything where they can take it from you. And credit has never meant, credit meant as much to me as, you know, I don't know, you know, as the scientific community saying, you know, the earth is round. You know what I mean? It didn't mean anything to me. Everybody was always so, like, my father, credit was like, you know, the second commandment of life. You must have good credit. This is how you survive in this world. This is how the world becomes your oyster. And it's like, really, Dad? Really? Because I don't own anything. So credit, you know, has only been, you know, a fun little thing I always played with my checkbook and I had a credit card. I mean, it didn't have a passion for me. You know, animals had a passion for me. So I was like, that's the torque I'm talking about. And I think Janine is definitely talking about it as well. When we say, you got to go towards the fear. Go towards the things that make you afraid. Because you got to be able to face those things. When you face those things, especially if those things are by proclivity where you're giving your power away, which I can almost promise you, at least the top three are going to be. And it doesn't matter what they are. Like for me, the top three was I didn't want to be alone, so I gave my power away to the men in my life. Why? Because if they love me, I'm not alone. My second thing was, my second fear was that I'm not smart enough. So what do? I'm reading up on everything I can because everybody out there must be smarter than me. Bam, giving my power away. You know, you can see it in the things that you'll be the most afraid to do, but
those are the
places where you're going to have the most juice come back. I mean, it's literally, torque is an actual energy.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. When you pull back the rubber band from a slingshot, you can feel it. And you can feel that you might be pulling only a short way, but, hey, look at the game Angry Birds.
I don't know that one.
It's a new one. The kids are all about it. You can feel that. You only have to pull the string a little bit, and when you let it go, the thing flies way further than the actual amount that you pulled it back. Way further. That's the benefits of when you face, you know, your top three fears. And it's so liberating. Once they're liberated, once they don't have fear over you, well, just look at Nassim and look at George. I mean, there's people on the planet, you can see that they are just walking presence.
That's where the integrity comes in, and there's no breaks in yourself, and that's where self trust comes in, which is truly a strength. And when you have self trust, you really you just that way of knowing, and you know what, you know, rather than being deceived or giving your power away, it's just a win-win, you know. And
so
I guess that's the, you know, the torque thing and the resistance thing. And, we've been experiencing it for really pretty strongly for, like, the last month for sure.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
obviously
and remember, the compression, that's part of the compression.
Yeah, it has been. So, I wanted to say that Michelle had commented on the two circles.
I just wrote Vesica Pisces. I just typed in Vesica Pisces.
You can really see the Vesica Pisces there, which of course is so beautiful because it can't occur unless there's a breaking through, and then the circles can overlap.
That's exactly because the ascension is not going to happen. One of the things that he shows is, in the Tree of Life, which is the second painting that Janine, the painting that's behind the magic gown, which is the Tree of Life, which is the Kabbalah, what they have the equation, but what they don't realize is the bottom part is going to get pushed into the top part. And it's in the pushing that in that this new 64 sided tetrahedron, octahedron, I don't remember the name of the sacred geometry of it, but it's one step away, like, you know, because he talked about how a lot of people were studying the Kabbalah and they'd get frustrated and then they'd leave, because the one thing that's so interesting to me is how a lot of scientists will look at things two-dimensionally or in the what they weren't taking into the equation was the dynamic of movement. Okay, you have the blueprint. Now move it together. The Vesica Pisces is two circles moving together. It's
right.
In the movement of things, and that's what the torque comes from. The torque is the resistance based on the movement of it coming together.
That's right. And the good thing,
that's
actually very true. And movement is a constant, and things are constantly moving. And so you were saying to me, and I love this because we can apply this to ourselves as well as any scientific formula, is that in taking everything into consideration, you have to consider that things are constantly moving. Like,
yeah.
You cannot base anything on, well, you know, that's stagnant. So I'm positive about that. You know, things are moving, and I think that's why when you say I'm doing nothing, I know that's not true because
right. Well,
you know,
right. I mean, based on a societal point of view, I'm doing nothing.
No, and
but you're right.
Exactly
you're right. Based on life. Yeah.
Oh no, and because I, you know, as I've gone through that too, where it appears as though I have empty spaces in my day of doing nothing, or days go by and it's like, no, not at all. That is not at all what's happening, you know,
right
because
on.
Out of that will, will appear six paintings but it might take 6 months, you know, I mean, these are unpredictable. You know, you can't put these fixed artificial timelines on organic processes. It's impossible.
Right on. Should
right.
hit the applause
and
button
so,
for that one.
So when we put art, you know, and that's such a great thing to understand. I mean, it's almost not overwhelming, but when you put fixed artificial timelines or processes on anything organic, it just doesn't work. I mean, it just doesn't. You know,
yeah,
and
look at the medical community, and then that's how you'll know how clearly that doesn't work.
Yeah, so you know,
that's
it's really
what they
great.
Tried
See,
to
that,
do.
That's another thing when you come into this better place of knowing by dealing with all of yourself, you start to see that. Organic processes jump out at you. They are you. You are them. The artificial stuff falls away. You know, it's or you're real good at detecting it. It's like artificial doesn't feel right. You know,
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And you know, that
wow.
again is like,
yeah.
doesn't that feel right?
Yeah, no, it feels very right. It feels like the truth. I mean, because
look what
that exactly seems to be the process I'm going through. It's not about eliminating deception in my life. I'm not,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's when people talk about eliminate your ego. I mean, listen, there's nothing in the universe that can be eliminated,
right.
first and foremost. So stop trying to eliminate anything. What we really want to do is how can we get this into a space that it works for self?
Yeah,
that's what I'm after.
And you know what's interesting, because the obvious here, and we've brought it up before, but we didn't use the word tonight, the synchronicity of things.
Okay.
I believe that the synchronicity of things is the organic process that is natural, that is just when you're tapped in, and that's the synchronistic occurrences, like, you know, it's just synchronicity is not artificial, it's organic. And that occurs with people, and you notice it more as you're working in the organic forces as opposed to the artificial constraints of, like, you know, artificial timelines and this, you know, the you're supposed to, and there's a deadline for that. And I mean, you know, I just think that is the antithesis of when synchronicity occurs in people's lives.
Yeah.
And you do have to sort of go against the grain. You do, because that is...
You see, that's the tricky part of it, yes. I mean, you know, there's such an understanding. I'm having my own understanding that what I was taught as a child and what I know now, it's like I had to flip so many beliefs. I mean... The first and foremost belief was, I mean, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Why was it so easy for me to do the bad life, and it was so challenging for me to do the good life? Because, I mean, I did not understand that after 10 years of being in the light, I didn't have a pot to piss in. You know, my energy work itself was awesome, but I couldn't pay bills with it. It wasn't making me the money I was. I didn't have the sustainability. It's like I really didn't understand that, and yet when I was the dark life, you know, I had thousands of dollars coming in from the coke. And I was like, what is going – you know, and I know that sounds kind of like, oh, yeah, we all go through that. It's like, you know, believe me, I live balls to the wall. So, I mean, it was like, hence – The good life had to turn dark. That's when I intentionally went bankrupt, because it was like I didn't have an answer in the light at that point. And this is something I want to start talking more about, because I realize I talk a lot about my drug days, but I don't talk a whole lot about, you know, the days of, you know, when I was love and light only. And I know it's hard to believe considering how, you know, I don't think I was ever completely just love and light. Because something would just piss me off and I'd say it, you know, or something would clearly, like, I've always seemed to have this inner detection of when bullshit, when if somebody was bullshitting me, I knew it. I mean, I couldn't tell you where in it is that they were lying to me, but I would just know it. And when I would confront them, it'd be like, no, you know, they'd lie to me and go, I'm not lying to you. And I'd be like, are you sure? Or I'd say, you said this. And they'd go, no, I didn't. I said this. And like within 30 seconds of it exiting their mouth, they'd already be changing how they said it. And I'd go, you just changed it around. It's like, no, I didn't. And it's like, you know, when it's a matter of literally you're standing there arguing with people who say, no, I didn't say it like that. And you're going, well, I heard it. Okay, well, what do you do with that? Well, you know, I mean, and most of the time, in all honesty, what I had done, and this is basically up until like maybe, you know, a couple of months ago, is literally, you know, like I knew they said it the way I heard it. And I'd be like, okay, whatever, whatever. And this is the part I'm talking about. When we're constantly accepting the whatevers, when we're constantly accepting what we know is wrong, and it's not about correcting the person. That's not what the point I'm trying. What I'm trying to say is, if it's wrong to you, well, why are we sticking around with that? What are we afraid of? Afraid of being alone? Afraid of not being loved? I mean, like today, I totally got the hit. And I started cracking up at one point. I put Nassim on pause because I cracked up because I totally got the hit. Did I really believe I'd never experience love again for the rest of my existence? Like, I'm 46 years old, and I could definitely go the rest of this physical lifetime without having, you know, another quote-unquote great love come into my life. I'm very prepared to do that. My body seems to be in total coherence with that because sexually speaking, I am nowhere near as active. I mean, I'm dormant. My libido is definitely dormant. So I'm cool with that. But I was like, but throughout all of existence, because I already know that I'll have a consciousness when this body goes. That is not even a question to me. I know I will consciously go on. And like I said, my hope is, you know, that I'm going to make it through that fifth-dimensional organic thing. But let's just say I die this lifetime, which I seriously doubt. But let's just say that I still know I'll keep going. So what, even post this body, I'm never going to have love again? It's like, oh, what a crock of crap that is. Of course I'm going to have love again. This whole universe is about love. Everything in this is about relating, the law of attraction, you know, dancing together. And it's like, I just can't tell you the clarity that I'm getting. Not because anything's changing on the outside. It's because there is so more of my 64, I don't know, walls of this octahedron, tetrahedron thing, whatever this 64-walled geometry is called, it's starting to happen. My broken strings of the I Ching and my full lines of the I Ching are starting to build. And
That's a great visual and explanation.
Thanks.
It's starting to build the structure
because once it's all 64, to be quite honest, that I am fifth dimensional. Exactly.
And that structure is so multidimensional that, you know, it moves in and out of, you know, it's so more than this. Than our understanding or this dimension.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Which is by design. You know, it's by design that we have not been aware of this, but it's also by design that now is the time to become aware of it. You know, both of those are applicable at this point.
Yeah, no, it's just great because I think of that sign and, you know, you even told me the story of, well, here I am painting it on a piece of like 7-foot wood that it is, you know, in its two-dimensional state because I'm painting it, but I know that it's multidimensional. But I knew that I wanted that a part of the magic gown art piece.
I know, Jesus.
Because I just knew that this was an important, I don't know whether you want to even call it like an opening or an, you know, I don't even know. But then you tell me that Nassim had it on the roof, the inside roof or ceiling of his van, and he would just be with it and study it, and literally it holds a knowledge.
Yes.
This teacher that I met in Cyprus, and you know, older man that's gone now, his name was Stelianis Ateshelis, he introduced me to the symbol of life and said that, you know, within this was a language. It's a universal cosmic language of,
yes,
you know, and you know, and I mean,
of
I
the unified field.
Yes, and I mean, you know, I could sort of touch the idea, and I love the fact that it's there for us to, you know, to see and contemplate. But it definitely was in. Now look at the synchronicity of you talking about this on the ceiling of this man's van, who's been just coming up with these concepts because he knows them, and then me, I'm working with them in my artistic way, you know, and they're.
Because
they
you
meaning.
Know them.
Because it had meaning to me, and within my story that I wrote, all this is in there. It's just in there in my own way of layering things, you know, and so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's fun. I mean, you know.
Well, you know what? I welcome the audience to do?
What?
Because I was doing this today, and it's similar. See, like, Janine is realizing, because how long ago was it that you painted the Tree of Life on the back of the thing?
Oh, 2004.
Right, so it was 7 years ago.
Right.
What I was doing today, because I don't know if anybody read it today, I am totally realizing that my future self has been guiding me in the present.
I love that.
This whole time. And one of the ways that I figured that out was I don't know about you, but when I look back on, like, I was just looking at the pictures I had in my profile and the
right.
things that I was writing down, and it's like, I mean, I was writing down, you know, that my path is clear, you know, my journey is all truth, and it's like things like that, and I mean, just the pictures I was using, the Vesica Pisces pictures, and, you know, I had some pictures of me and Scott when I was with him, and I was just doing it as a diary, and I'm going, oh, my God, what I am now literally and authentically feeling and experiencing. It's like I'm really getting to the point where I know I can't be shaken from this, you know, and that's very good for me to know because, like I said, what I also know is what's coming down the pike is something that's going to try and shake me to the core of whether I trust myself or not. So how incredibly timing for me to first intend it through my writings by spending tons and tons and tons of time in nature. I mean, boy, Mother Nature, hands down, has such a influence. I mean, Nassim said he quit school, took a job being a ski coach, and he said it put him in nature.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't where, you know, he had to sit in his van or in his apartment or whatever when he was trying to find his conclusions. But it's almost like intuitively he knew you can't always be, you know, in your car, in an office, in your house, and then have this intuition kind of, you know, wake up and be all, you know, very communicative with you. Nature is what wakes up the intuition. Nature is what brings an awareness. Because nature is that awareness. It's like entrainment. You literally are entraining yourself to, like,
that's
I remember,
right.
You know, when I was sitting in the woods last week after the show with George, I was just, my ass was kicked by that chat room. And I went into nature, and I just had awarenesses. In fact, I had a visual of the tree with the doorway. I mean, it was exactly like Janine's painting that we always have on the Mystical Mother Earth show with the tree with the doorway. And three birds flew into it. A hawk and two woodpeckers flew right into the doorway of the tree into another dimension. I was like, wow. Like, you know, it didn't have to be that I walked through the doorway that day. Just seeing that vision was like, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm good. You know, and when you feel good, you're not worried. And when you're not worried, life is just a completely different experience. And does that mean I still didn't have pain to feel? No, I still was feeling pain because came back home the next day and lost power for the next 3 days, you know, which was another challenging experience. But okay, at least my one thing that I'm here to do, and I have been here to do for the last, consciously anyways, the last 16 years, is ascending. I'm ascending. I don't care whatever else happens, I am ascending. That's just because for me, I don't know how to be any other. I don't know how to focus on anything else. I know everybody has something that is really, they're very passionate about. Something. Mm-hmm. You know, I highly recommend getting in touch with whatever, because you know what it is, and many people, what they do is they push it away and go, you know, I don't have time. Maybe when I retire. Boy, did I used to hear my mother say that all the time. When I retire. And then she died at 63 and never did. You know, she wanted to travel more. Never did. Yeah. Silly lady. Should have done it when I... There is no future to do things, and now is the time to live your passions, hands down, or hands up, if your passion is volleyball.
No, it is the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, sometimes
it really,
fun,
really is.
When you say, you know, no other lifetime has it ever been like this. Well, I have fun sometimes saying that. And going, I bet you I've never said that in any other lifetime. I think this really is the, you know, and you get the sense that this is the lifetime that we're saying it. That, you know, this wasn't something that we said before in another lifetime because we thought it was. I think we say it now because it is.
Yeah, you know? I agree, because I remember when that was first said to me, I was like, it didn't even ring as true, where now it...
Yeah.
It's so true. It's like, you know, it's bonging me. You know, it's like gonging me on my forehead. Because, you know, one of the things that George helped me understand so clearly is, you know, there are people whose passion is ballet. So they would know everything about ballet. They'd know the people who are coming into the ballet world, the people who might be moving out, you know, because they're retiring, injuries and... you know, clothing and whatever, everything ballet. I don't know about ballet because I have not, you know, looked into ballet. It doesn't interest me to know about ballet.
Mm-hmm.
But I know about the ascension because that has interested me. I mean, it's something that just grabbed a hold of me. I remember I heard Kreon say it in 1992. It was just like, something grabbed me, and it literally, it was like cigarettes. It never let me go. And the truth is, unlike cigarettes, I never wanted to let go of it. I mean, I have definitely, you know, said like, you know, like because of the ascension, I have believed that, you know, I have let certain friends go in my life. And, you know, it's always because, you know, they're interfering, in my humble opinion, with my ascension. And if you're interfering with my ascension, you know, this was earlier in my life. At this point, nobody interferes with my ascension. It's everything, torque included, is supportive of my ascension. But I didn't know that earlier in the beginning. And, you know, they all thought I was crazy anyways. I was talking all sorts of, you know, energy and, you know, ascending into another dimension and, you know, you know, they got kids, they're paying their bills, and they're like, you're a whack job, Goldie. You know, go away. You know, I was telling Janine on the phone, I'm a catalyst. I know I'm a catalyst. The things I say are literally energetically meant to trigger you one way or another. You could be triggered where you love what I'm saying, or you could be triggered and really hate what I'm saying, including hating me for saying it. And most of my life as being the catalyst, and I have known I'm a catalyst even before my awakening. I knew I was a catalyst when I was in my teens and 20s. Actually, middle school, I knew I was a catalyst. I have actually lost more friends than I've kept, because most of the people that have dealt with me from a catalyst point of view have been pissed off at what I say. They're very upset that, you know, I used to hear a lot when I was younger, you're attacking me. And that's because, I mean, I didn't realize at the time I was trying to heal them, but until I had my own, you know, poop in a group, there was no healing other people. They didn't want to hear nothing from me when, you know, I was a total mess. And I have, you know, definitely swung the 180 degree where now it's all about me. I've lost friends because, like, listen, you go be, you know, on your 17 different medications, and, you know, I you obviously don't want my help, so let me get out of your way because, you know, I'm not into watching somebody kill themselves due to pharmaceuticals. That just, any more than I want to watch somebody kill themselves from heroin. I mean, I just don't want to watch it. So I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, but it, you know, it's find what holds you. And I know you guys don't have to go deep to know that. And, you know, and it, remember, it doesn't have to be, like, I remember my father, like, I also know children. Children just, they are a light for me that it's not the love and light. It is a complete, it's a light of truth, a light of honesty, a light of organic, angelic, just brilliance. And I remember my father saying to me, you can't make a career or a living out of being a nanny. He's like, you got to be a teacher. And I'm like, oh, hell to the no am I going to do teaching where I have to be in a public arena, deal with a ton of rules. They're going to tell me how to be. I know me. That doesn't work. I need to be one-on-one, me and the kids. You know, okay, I'll deal with the parents, but that's it. I can't be dealing with politics because I am definitely not a politician. And it's ironic, though. I have a lot of political ways about me, but they would have never let me into politics because I would have, you know, just wanted to train roll them all. And in turn, they would have train rolled me and really just got me the hell out. So, but what I did was, you know, I gave everybody, you know, the basic bone here. I'll get an associate's degree in early childhood because then I can, you know, and, you know, I had to take all those other bullshit courses in college that meant nothing to me, like English, and I'm not big on writing stuff, and I'm, you know, sociology. Well, there were some classes that were interesting, but there was 60 credits were about early childhood. I aced all of those. 60 other credits were about things the college felt I needed to know, you know, when the truth was I didn't need to know any of that, but you don't get the degree. You can get a certificate by taking the 60 early childhood, but I had to get the degree because I wanted to be able to say, listen, I'm going to make a living doing this, and that'll up my pay easy $5 to $7, which it has up until, you know, the present moment. It worked. You know, I did make more money than the average Joe or the average Julie because I had the degree. So don't look at what you're doing, you know, and saying, oh, I could never make money from that. You know, truth be told, it will inspire you to figure out where you're going to make your money, if not the way to make the money. And what's so funny is, even as we speak, we're in November 3rd, 2011, I'm actually going to, you know, be so bold to say, I have a feeling sooner than everybody thinks, money is not even going to be a factor on this planet anymore. Because if what's coming down the pike is coming, they're going to the whole game is going to change. It's no longer going to be about feeding the machine of consumerism. That is not what the planet's purpose is going to be. The planet's purpose when the new paradigm shows up is really going to be about herding, H-E-R-D-I-N-G, herding like cattle, herding us to the next space where we can be utilized. And that has nothing to do with jobs. That has everything to do with the manipulation of our desires and our yearnings. So I have a feeling, you know, people are going to have, the food's going to come, the healing's going to come, all of this without us going to work anymore. It's just not going to be what it's going to be about. It's just going to be about a whole new level. So don't worry about the money is my point. Find the passion. The passion connects you to your soul. The soul connects you to your intuition. The intuition connects you to your truth.
Right.
And that's the only thing you need to be connected to is your truth.
Yeah, and the passion is where all the energy is. The truth. And you know, it's funny because you said your father, well, you were talking about your earlier days of, like, you know, the quote you said, you know, being dark and bad, and I'm going, leader, warrior, and visionary in training, and that's what I was thinking of. And then when you said about the teaching, and I'm like, well, on the radio show, the teaching is occurring, and, you know, it's funny because, like I told you before, that book that I like so much that my friend wrote, The Fourfold Way, it's the way of the warrior leader, the way of the healer, the way of the teacher, and the way of the visionary. And if you listen to your life story, they're all kind of coming into place, and that you've been working on all of them all your life. And I really think all of us are leaders and warriors, healers, teachers, and visionaries. You just need to open up to them, own them, and honestly, the place that you don't think you're the strongest is probably your most gifted. Because
exactly.
I know this to be true.
Exactly.
Right. Because, you know, I remember she said to me, okay, everyone that thinks they, you know, what's their weakest place? And I raised my hand for the visionary, and it really is my strongest place, you know? So, it's so true that, and I wouldn't have been able to really come into any of these places if I hadn't kept persevering through the tension, the torque, the conflict, the resistance, you know, and it's, the irony is what's come of it is all great, you know, and good.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And so that's the pearl inside the oyster.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Yeah, and speaking of oysters, you know, in the magic gown, which really, like, is so multi-layered in terms of this whole stuff that we talk about, that, you know, the gift that is given to the little girl is an oyster shell. And that was no accident. And it's the shell of great fortune in mysterious ways, and it's a whole, like, initiation into this, you know, adventure and basically of this process of awareness. And but there's this beautiful blue swan who represents the deep feminine nature and the mystical and the magical. And she says to the little girl, the time has come so long forbidden, until now this magic hidden. Wonderful, wonderful, whispers her voice. Oh, sweet child, let us rejoice. Another door has opened. And,
right,
you know, and to me,
you guys, you should all be reading The Magic Gown, I'm telling you, because the metaphors for the journey we're on are in The Magic Gown, truly.
There's a lot of bingo moments in there.
Yeah, right on. I mean,
right?
Look at it.
And
she, Janine wrote it. You already know how, you guys clearly get how connected she is. She's very connected. And therefore, what she writes is symbolically connected. Yeah, it works that way.
No, it's all just so much fun, and not now because it's too long a story. But next time we're on together, I want to tell this great whale encounter that my surfer son had, who also was sensitive to time in the future. And I totally agree with you because there have been so many moments in my life going back. 20 years where something happens and it precedes me and I go, you know, and so I really do think that the future comes to us because we've already been there.
It's coming through us. I mean, that's the beauty. It's coming through us, right. We're actually the filter that first experiences it, and then this is why our attitude is so important, because it's almost like that has a flavor to how it's going to look when it comes out the white hole, which is back in front of us as our next new experience. It's like, you know, we're climbing the steps, and each experience is the next rung up based on what we just went through. I mean, it's amazing.
You know, one of the things George says that I love is that this is not the unreal. This is the real. This is reality. So, like, to really, you know, you can feel it. It's much more solid. You can feel this so much more than you think. This isn't just mental concepts. We're talking about reality.
Absolutely.
You know, for so
and that's
long,
important
so,
to know.
Right.
Yeah.
Very important. Oh, and I see that we're running out of time here.
Yeah, we're about 30 seconds in. But if we go a few minutes over, we can go
right,
a few minutes over.
Right.
And, yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to, you know, we were on a roll and.
Oh, no,
and
I
realize most of the people are, there's actually nobody on the phone but me and you, so it's going to end for most of the people in 25 seconds. And we're just going to close it up in the next few minutes. I didn't want to rush us up, and but thank you, everybody, for being here. Janine, I love you. I love my audience. I love my intimate, beautiful audience. You guys rock. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Both of you. You too, Janine.
Thank you, Golden Hawk. I love the audience, too. And I think my webmaster, Alan's listening. So, hello, Alan.
Okay, we are off stream, so he'll have to hear the archive for that. That's all right. I mean, he'll listen if he needs to listen. And
I know he made a comment. He quoted me.
He quoted you recently? Okay.
He just quoted what I said. He loved what I said, I guess. He said, let's see. Oh. Artificial timelines don't work for organic processes, Janine Elson.
Right on. Right on. He picked up on that. Exactly. I mean, and it's so interesting because, well, we can definitely talk about the whale story. I think what we need to talk about, too, which would be nice.
A really sweet story.
Yeah, well, the subtle, because I don't know if others see how clearly, as clearly as I see, how you are very attuned to the subtle. And I think many of us are attuned, but if you don't have somebody in your life, and I know this from my own experiences, if you don't have somebody in your life getting excited about your being tuned into the subtle, most of the time when you're tuned into the subtle, the people around you are going to basically scoff at you and tell you, you know, that's a negative thing. They don't want you tuned in to the truth of how they're feeling or the truth of what they're saying. And that's what the subtle is. The subtle is they can be smiling on the outside, but you can feel the energy coming off of them is not so joyful. So maybe on Monday we can talk about, you know, the subtle, because it seems to be good momentum.
Let's do that.
Yeah, from where we're going now. So can you share with the audience your contact information, please?
Oh, sure. My website is jlkimmel.com, KIMMEL.com.
Okay, and I want you to share with them until your link is up. Where can they purchase your pictures? Share that website's link.
Okay, so on Springtree Press, all one word, .com. On there are, well, let's just say this. On my jlkimmel.com, there's a whole bunch of art, and any of those can be made into prints. And then on the springtreepress.com website, all the posters are available from the Magic Gown, and they can be purchased through PayPal, and I'm happy to sign them. And so that's a really nice thing. And And I'm also, you know, a therapist, and I have an office, and I do phone work. And I guess that's it, right? And, you know, the Magic Gown is a really fun book for people to read, and it's got a lot of layers.
Yeah, so, and, you know, it's just so wonderful. If you guys read it, it'll really help you anytime we reference the book, which, of course, I mean, that's Janine's baby. Where another reality show is my baby, that's her baby. So when she's on and she's referencing it, you'll know, but not just to know what Janine's referencing. I'm telling you, it has all the things we're talking about right in the pages of the story. It's a fabulous read. I mean, you know, it's easy but fun and adventurous. Highly recommend it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Oh, I love you, Janine. I just, you know, just so everybody knows, I was very blessed the day Janine said that she would do the Mystical Mother Earth show with me, which, of course, came prior. What came prior to that was she said she'd do Third Thursdays with me, and now I have her on the air, quite a lot lately.
We're having fun, that's for sure.
My best shows clearly are when me and Janine just kind of talk and share our what's happening in the now. It just absolutely turns me on. So next week is a woman named Lisette Larkin who should have we should have a great show. And Janine, I would love it if you would join us. She's going to share with us. She wrote a book called Difficult People, and how difficult people help you stay present. Truth be told, I think it's going to be all about the torque. And this woman wrote a book about it, so clearly she has some insight onto that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, and then Monday night, me and Janine will be on 8 o'clock Mystical Mother Earth Show talking about the subtleties. Unless something happens between now and then that, you know, seems to be more on the forefront, that's where we're going with it. So I love you all. I appreciate you all. And it is just a magical, magical, mystical experience sharing all of this with you guys on the air. I appreciate it all. So thank you so much. And we'll talk to everybody soon. Have a great couple of days and a great weekend.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. You're welcome. I love you, babe.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.